John Burroughs once said, "I have discovered this secret of happiness. It is work, either with the hands or the head. The moment I have something to do, the draughts open, my chimney draws, and I am happy." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. The objective of our program is to discuss with you, our listeners, thought-provoking and meaningful topics based on the Bible. It's a call-in format, we're caller-friendly, and we certainly look forward to hearing your point of view. For those of you who may be listening for the first time, our perspective is this. We believe that there is one God, and through him there's one truth which is found in the Bible. Our purpose is to stir your thinking up along with ours as we continually search for clarity and understanding this one truth.
While we are not here to teach, we are here to seriously provoke your thinking according to Hebrews 10:24, which is the theme for our program. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. This provoking is encouraged by Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together. We look to frame our comments in the context of 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 and 21. Quench not the Spirit, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And the only end result we seek to accomplish is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God our Father and Jesus our Lord.
And if you'd like to contact us or suggest a topic for a future program and want a Christian Questions travel mug, here is what you should do.
You write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320, or check us out on the web at www.christianquestions.net.
And if you do have a Christian question or want to reopen a previously aired topic, give us a call, let us know, and we'll add it to the list. So on behalf of Jonathan, my co-host.
Good morning, Rick.
My thoughtful co-host. I'll explain that later. And Fred, the guy behind the board.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Gimpy, we call him this morning. Comes gimping in. He's doing well. We want to welcome you to this hour of our program.
He's doing well because he had an operation, and he's now walking.
And now he's doing well.
Yes.
You do well, brother. You do well to gimp on in here.
Thank you.
So where were we last week?
Last week. That's right. Last week we were talking about Jacob, right?
That's right. And our question was, did you ever wrestle with God?
And we had a guest with us, Tom Ruggiero. It was a great program last week. Tom essentially told us the story of Jacob, or much of the story of Jacob in his life, and the wrestlings he had with God throughout his life. And some really, really appropriate lessons for us to learn from the life of Jacob. And, you know, Jonathan, one of the things that impresses me, and I think Tom mentioned this, I think he mentioned it on the air last week, is that the scriptures we have as it's a textbook for living, but our textbook is really based on the ups and downs and rights and wrongs of real people's life experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite an interesting phenomenon to be looking at and examining somebody's life and saying, I can learn not to do this and not to do that, but I should do these things because these are the mistakes they made or these are the things they did well. And Jacob was the one who had a few things on both sides of that ledger.
That's right.
And, you wonder about what's somebody like Jacob's reaction going to be in the kingdom of God when he realizes that not only did he live his life, but his life was an open book. for billions upon billions of people to look at and learn from.
That's for sure.
So, good lessons from the wrestlings of Jacob. This morning, though.
Our question is, how does your garden grow? And our theme text is Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
Okay, how does your garden grow? Well, gardening has become one of the world's favorite pastimes. Some of us enjoy growing vegetables or fruit trees, while others prefer ornamental plants, flower beds, or rose gardens. There are perennials, biennials, annuals. I'm not a gardener, so this is really all kind of foreign to me. Although the type of garden may vary, there are many commonalities that hold true for all gardens. All gardens require planning, cultivating, planting, weeding, and pruning, and all the work, when done diligently, will bring forth a fruitful and beautiful garden for all to enjoy. How true this is for our characters as well. They need planning, cultivating, planting, weeding, and pruning. In a sense, we have a garden of character growing in each of us. It all begins with a tiny seed or a simple thought. Who is the husbandman or the gardener of your garden? Is it God? Are you pleased with the fruitage that you're bearing? So how does your garden grow? Questions for this morning, Jonathan.
The first question, how important are the thoughts we think?
Second, how do thoughts affect our characters?
Third, how can we cultivate good thoughts?
Fourth, what is the difference between a thought and thinking?
And fifth, what should we be thinking?
All right, so we're going to be talking about the garden of your mind.
Ooh, deep.
That's right. And this actually is a very, very, very good and important subject, because all of us, whether we think about it or not, have huge, immense capacity between our ears. I mean, you've got this amazing capacity for thought and thinking and control and discipline, and it all is between your ears. And really the question we want to focus on this morning is, what are you doing with that? How's it going? How are you developing that thought process? And a lot of the thoughts that we are going to be talking about this morning actually come from a sermon given many, many, many years ago by a brother, Barton. And I think it's important to give that credit, because he organized the thoughts and the scriptures that we'll be discussing this morning. So, Jonathan, just to get things started, let's just quote a small section of one of his introductory statements to get us involved in this subject of how does your garden grow. And the first question, how important are the thoughts that we think?
Very often you will hear people remark, does it matter what we think about? Some say, oh, what we think isn't a big deal. It would be a terrible thing if we did anything really bad. But just a little thought, what does that amount to? This is not true. We find this matter of thought so important because thoughts are the beginning of all things. The whole universe began with a thought. Sometime way back when, we don't know if it was millions of years ago or many times millions of years ago, our God had a thought of creating a universe, though that thought led to the outworking of his great plan. That thought led to the bringing of the sun and the moon and the stars into existence. That thought finally resulted in the creation of this earth and the whole universe. It all grew out of that little thought. The home you live in started with a thought. Somebody, sometime, thinking of building a home there. That thought led to a further consideration of the matter. It led to the making of plans and specifications. It led to the making of contracts. And finally, to your home standing where it stands. It grew out of a thought someone had in the past. So we see that thoughts are very important, because everything starts with a thought. Do you realize a thought, little thought is more important than the word you speak or the act you perform?
Okay, and that's a good few thoughts to get us started, because there's some very, very important things in there. First of all, one of the initial points that, and we're going to be coming back to this as we go through the program, one of the initial points is that I think it's too easy for us to say, well, it's okay to think whatever thoughts as long as you don't do them, and there's a problem with that, and we'll get into that.
Well, if you think good thoughts and don't do them, that's not good, Rick.
That's right. You know what I mean. Thanks there, bud.
Threw you off.
Yes, you did. Another thought here, Jonathan, is that thoughts are the beginning of all things. And, you know, the point was that God, based on his thought, created. Mm-hmm. And we're glad for that, and it gives the idea of a home, you know, being built. And that home was a thought at first. And what's interesting to me is, it sort of got me thinking about this situation, my home, for instance, that the house I live in, and you know, you've been there many times. Well, my house was once a barn. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when the thought came to build this place, nobody was thinking about building a house.
Well, how about even before that, when I was staying with your parents next door, and I had a thought that I saw a for sale sign, and I thought, gee, wouldn't that be great if Rick would live in one house and his brother would live in the other? And wouldn't that solve a lot of problems, because they're both looking for houses?
That's right.
And guess what?
We ended up buying the two houses.
Yes, you did.
Right next door. There's a thought. But, you know, it's interesting with the house that I live in, because it was originally a barn, it was built at the turn of the century. You know, the idea here in the text that we just read is that, you know, there's planning, there's specifications. Well, let me clue you. There wasn't too much planning or specifications.
Oh, no.
Well, and the interesting thing is because the thought was not to build a house. The thought was to build a barn. Later on, somebody got the bright idea of turning it into a house. But when we moved into it, it was already had already been converted to a house. And you remember, I did an extensive amount of remodeling.
Oh, yeah.
And every time I opened up a wall, it was like having a heart attack, seeing what was... How does this place stay up? And it's interesting because there was not a lot of thought that went into the construction of it as a home. It had to be rethought afterwards. And so thoughts really are the beginning of things, and when you get into a thought pattern, that's when you've got to begin to say, where is this going to bring me? And that's why thinking is such an important part of life. Pretty profound for 6 o'clock in the morning, isn't it? let's take a look at a very short scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:9.
And that reads, ye are God's husbandry.
Okay, when it says God's husbandry, it's like God's garden. You're what God is taking care of. And that's an important scripture in relation to this idea of thoughts. We're growing a crop in the gardens of our mind, and that crop is called your character. Sometimes we call you a character, but that's not what we mean.
Oh, okay.
Okay? You know, to rephrase that scripture, we could say that you're God's garden.
Mm-hmm.
And what God grows in this garden is character, is integrity. And the question is, how are we, or what are we contributing to the growth of that? You know, every garden has certain level of diversity. Different things are growing in it. And the interesting thing about growing things in the garden of your character, in any garden, is you ever notice that the things you want to grow have to be tended to? The things you don't want to grow just happen naturally?
Yes. Big time.
And it's amazing to me how hard you have to work to really make a garden productive. I mean, you think, well, why can't you just have corn and tomatoes grow naturally? But they don't. You need to cultivate them. You need to spread them out enough. You need to... especially like with tomato plants, you need to prop them up. I mean, you got to do all this extra work to get something of value out of the garden. And I would submit to you that you have to do a whole bunch of extra work to get something of value out of your brain. Okay? Yes, Jonathan, I'm talking to you.
Oh, you're making me work this morning.
You know, and again, the idea is, how does your garden grow? What is the thought process? What thoughts are we entertaining? What thoughts are we building on in our own minds to help us to grow and to cultivate a character that is not only worthy but God-honoring? That's the question for this morning.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on 980 WSUB. Grab your Bibles. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Christian Questions on 980 WSUB with Jonathan and Rick. Our subject this segment, how does your garden grow? To be a part of our program, call 443-9782, 443-WSUB.
So, Jonathan, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Incoming. I didn't tell you about this.
Of course you didn't. What's new?
Do you think often?
Absolutely.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Not really.
Not really, like, not really you don't think often, or not really you can't elaborate? You know, I'm asking you that question somewhat facetiously, but somewhat seriously, because most of us, honestly and truly, don't think often. We just sort of go through motions because we are creatures of habit. And a lot of what we do in our daily experience doesn't require a deep thought process. Mm-hmm. You know, we get up, you know what to make for breakfast, or...
You have a routine. Huh?
Right, you have a routine, and through that routine, we don't do a lot of real, serious, true, deep-down thinking. And it's amazing. I read a book and I brought it, I'll read a few quotes from it as we go through the program, by John Maxwell. It's called Thinking for a Change. And it's a really, really good book, and it really outlines what true thinking is. And one of the points it makes is that so few of us really, really think on a regular basis, which sounds bad.
Well, it makes sense because we're in this time or this age of everything is there at your fingertips,
mm-hmm.
the internet, information. So it's there. We don't have to do the work. All we have to do is, you know how to get to it.
Right. And that...
It makes us lazy, I guess you could say.
Well, and think about it. I mean, that's something we say at the end of every hour of every program. Think about it. Because the idea is when when you put serious thought into something, you can go so much further, but we just generally don't. When I say we, I mean myself included.
Mm-hmm.
We just spend a lot of our time going through motions. Anyway, back to our text, and then we'll on to some scriptures.
As with natural gardens, there is great diversity.
So this is talking about the garden of our minds.
One has a character like a nicely cultivated farm. You can see patience and love and zeal and godliness and earnestness and other grand qualities growing in his character. You meet another person whose character is like the garden overgrown with weeds. In such character we see growing the envy, the jealousy, the malice, the strife of all kinds of evil fruitage.
So there's a great diversity in the garden of our minds, and it really comes down to what are we cultivating? Because in your mind, you're cultivating whether you realize it or not. And the default, the natural tendency, is to cultivate things of a less than godly sort. Because they're easier to cultivate.
They come naturally,
right,
without
right,
thinking, like
right.
you mentioned before.
Exactly. And when you try to cultivate things of a godly sort, it takes a lot of
work.
Weeding and tending and pruning and attention and watering and constancy. So it's interesting as we look at the gardens of our mind. You ask yourself the question, folks. Ask yourself what am I cultivating in that brain of mine? Might be a little early in the morning to be pondering such deep things, but get a cup of coffee and work on it. Jonathan, let's go to a few scriptures.
All right, let's read Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
You know, and in that scripture is not just necessarily talking about our actions. It's not, I think we often read that scripture. We say, you know, this is an action related scripture. The things you do are gonna result in the things that you get back. But I think in this scripture, it's really also talking about the thoughts that we put out.
That makes a lot of sense.
Because the thoughts are what create our actions.
Right.
You know, all of our actions are based on some kind of a thought process. And oftentimes we allow our actions to go from autopilot, but they're still based on a thought process that had its beginning somewhere. Okay? Let's go a little bit further.
1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
So the idea of gardening here is not only used in the analogy of the garden of your mind, but the garden of the church, the true church, the true followers of Christ. The Apostle Paul here is saying, I planted, somebody else did the watering, but God was the ultimate caregiver in the development of the Corinthian church at that time. So this analogy is very well used in the scriptures. Matter of fact, let's read Matthew 13, 3 through 8, because that'll give us this is definitely the gardening analogy coming out in one of the parables of Jesus.
And he spake to them many things in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went forth to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them, and others fell upon the rocky places, where they had not much earth, and straightway they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell upon the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and others fell upon the good ground, and yielded fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30.
So Jesus is speaking this parable of the sower, and he's talking about somebody who deliberately went out to sow seed. And he's saying that some of the seed fell in different places, into different contexts, if you will, into different minds at different stages and different circumstances of life, and he's talking about what comes out of this. As a matter of fact, read verses 19 through 23, because that's the Jesus explanation of this parable.
When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then cometh the evil one, and snatcheth away that which hath been sown in his heart. This is he that was sown by the wayside, and he that was sown upon the rocky places. This is he that heareth the word, and straightway with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, straightway he stumbleth. And he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who verily beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30.
So it's interesting, Jonathan, the same seed is sown in different areas. And because of the...
In the mind.
Right. It's because of the context of each mind, the end result of the exact same seed is dramatically different.
Right.
In the first example, one hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it is the one that it was sown by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was sown by the wayside, wasn't that the one where the bird just came and took the seed?
Yep.
It had nothing at all to take root in.
Right.
But the seed was still there. The seed was with the potential. The next place was in the rocky places.
Right.
And it grew. But because it was rocky, there was no place for it to take real strong root.
Mm-hmm.
And so it had no strength of character to it. And the next place was...
Well, it's interesting that it's tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the world. And those, when it gets a little hairy, that's when it doesn't take.
Right.
It's that emotional, fearful kind of thing that says, oh, I better not be doing this.
You know, and what that reminds me of, because we're talking about the thought process, is when, like after 9/11, you had a real move toward a unity of America.
Right.
And it was very touching. For a few weeks, in light of that tragedy, America was a different place to live.
Mm-hmm.
People were cognizant of each other. They were courteous. They were caring. But afterwards, America went back to the way we always were,
mm-hmm.
which is unfortunate. That's kind of like the stony ground there.
Yep.
You know, it sprouts up real quickly and looks good.
Looks good, yeah.
But it just doesn't have the deep root. That caring wasn't... while it was heartfelt, it was based on emotion rather than true bottom line character.
There you go. Excellent.
And then sown among the thorns, Jesus describes as the cares of this world. Okay, so it's sown in ground that has the ability to produce, but there's already so much other junk there that it's choked out.
In the mind.
Right, in Whoa. The mind. Is there a lot of junk in your mind, brother? Hope not.
Always need to weed it.
Well, and that's absolutely true. You know, I wonder if you can get some kind of like spiritual weed be gone. you spray it, and then a couple of days later, the weed just wither away. It's worth thinking about.
Hey, you could patent the idea. Go ahead.
Anyway, let's go a little bit further into the 13th chapter of Matthew. And again, folks, if you have a thought, give us a call at 443-9782-443-WSUB. We'd like to know what you think. Further in this chapter, there's another parable.
Okay, another parable set he before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that soweth good seed in his field. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat, and went away. But when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Once then hath it tares. And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. And the servants say unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he saith, Nay, lest happily while ye gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather up first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into the barn.
So Jesus is giving another parable, and he's talking about seeds. And the seeds, really, in this parable are not, they're not thoughts like we've been talking about.
No.
Because, you know, the seed is the word of the gospel. And he says the enemy comes and sows another seed, a different seed. And Jesus actually explains the parable a few verses down in Matthew 13, verses 36 to 43.
Explain unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, and in the field is the world. And the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And that enemy that sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are angels. As therefore the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather up out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of his Father. In that, he that hath ears, let him hear.
So in these parables, in this parable of the sower here, the seed is not thought. It's actually the people. You know, the good seed are the true followers of Christ, and the bad seed are followers of Satan. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've got this war going on. But again, it all comes down to the thought process is how does somebody become a follower of Christ or follower of Satan? Well, you have to decide to get there. You have to think the thoughts to put you into that particular perspective. Jonathan, there's another scripture that really gives us a perspective on God's thoughts in relation to our thoughts.
And that's found in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Jehovah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Now, Jonathan, I think about this scripture frequently.
Okay.
I really work at thinking about it. And one of the things I that impresses me about this scripture is that it talks about and it compares directly our thoughts with the thoughts of God. And there's an obvious conclusion to this comparison. Hello, God's thoughts are higher than yours. and the reason I say that with a little bit of sarcasm is because in the past we've had discussions with folks that have called into the program when we're dealing with the subject of hellfire and torment and all of that. And bottom line is we believe that the scriptures don't teach that at all.
Right.
Okay, we believe that's a gross misinterpretation of scriptural teaching and a gross misinterpretation of the character of God. And when we've discussed this, we've had folks call in and say, well, wait a minute, well, you know, God says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I can't, that scripture does not coincide with that thought.
No, it doesn't.
The thought of eternally torturing anybody who doesn't do the will of God is not higher than the thought of man.
No, no.
Because, you know, as hideous as our thoughts can be, I would say that 99.99% of all humankind could not conceive of eternally torturing their fellow human being.
That's for sure.
We might not like them. We might want to see them dead. We might want them to suffer. But eternity is an awfully long time. And that is not a higher thought than an imperfect human thought. To me,
no.
That's a lower thought.
You got it.
And again, that's something to think about. So, let's go down to the next Isaiah scripture here.
All right, Isaiah 1:18. Come now, and let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
Now, again, let's think about this. How do you reason together with God?
Through his word.
Well, what do you mean? You hold up the book and say, you hold it up above your head and say, okay, Lord, here's your word. Let's reason on it.
Isn't that what you do, Rick?
The secret is out. Not quite.
I don't think so.
But really, how do you, I mean, God is saying, come, let us reason together. It says Jehovah, says God. Well, how do you do that? How do you reason together with God?
Well, you use the Bible and you find the harmony, and you meet with others that have the same thought patterns of wanting to serve God, and you work together to find truth.
And I think that, now obviously, we have a very specific basis for our program here. We believe wholeheartedly that the Bible is the inspired word of God.
And that's proven through so many different ways.
Right, which we don't want to get into at this point. But having that as our basic premise, the way you can reason with God is if you see the Bible as the mind of God laid out for the minds of men to grasp, then to me that's the key to everything. If it's the mind of God in print, what we can do is take that mind of God and study it and learn about it and draw the lessons from it and reason through it and look for the harmony of God's character in it.
It takes a lot of thinking, though, Rick.
It certainly does. And it's not for the faint of heart, really.
True.
Because there's a lot of things in the scriptures that, Sean used to always say this, you know, the Bible's like an old fiddle. You can play any tune you want on it. And there's a lot of things in the scriptures that you can interpret any way you want to make it sound any way you want. You can make God look pretty hideous by selectively quoting certain aspects of scripture without looking at the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not reasoning with God.
No,
that's judging based on incomplete information. Big difference between the two. Folks, we're talking about the garden of your mind and learning how to cultivate good fruits.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on 980 WSUB. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Christian Questions on 980 WSUB with Jonathan and Rick. Our subject this segment, how does your garden grow? To be a part of our program, call 443-9782, 443-WSUB.
Now, a quick question for you, Jonathan.
Go ahead.
When you did that introduction back into the program, did you have to think about it?
Yes, I did.
You did?
I did.
Why?
Because I had to think, look down to the page and read the title.
Okay, but what the question is, was that the kind of thought that was really, well, maybe it was. Did that really work for you? Or is that just part of the habit of going through the, okay, time to come back into the program?
It's part of the habit, sure.
And that's the way a lot of our day goes by. We draw on predetermined methodology that doesn't require significant depth of thought.
Right.
And
there was no depth.
Yeah, what you said.
There was no depth.
And because of that, I submit to you that if we would begin to back away from that and really start to think some things through more deeply, we would probably get a lot more fulfillment out of a lot of the little things in life.
Absolutely. Well, Rick, I believe we have a call. Welcome to Christian Questions. This is Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
Julius.
Good morning, Julius.
Good morning, gentlemen. I want to wish Fred a speedy recovery with his operation.
Thank you, Julius.
Yeah, you're welcome. I see your program. I really appreciate your airing this wonderful Bible over the air. You know, I see it as a light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, Isaiah calls the current conditions a world of darkness. Gross darkness fills the earth. I believe that, especially all the problems that we have and all the terrorism and all that, all the fear. You know, fear, it reflects to, when we fear, it's because of the unknown. We don't know, you know, darkness. You know, it doesn't let you know what's out there. You see what I'm saying? So that fear is based on darkness. the error and the turmoil in the world. So I appreciate your program. I'm so grateful that you put on this wonderful program to probe the mind of God. That's what you're talking about this morning. You used quite a few, some of the texts that I was going to share with you. You took my notes.
Payback.
But one you touched upon it, I guess, is my favorite one that I shared with you before. Romans 11:34-35 thereabouts, where it says, "Who hath known the mind of God, and who has been his counselor?" Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing. We're searching. We're searching to find out what our God is like. That's what it's all about. Because that's what our lives depend upon, is a knowledge of the one that makes our heart beat. What makes a heart beat? You know, what makes the... We planted a couple of plants last night, flowers. And think about it. What makes a plant grow? Who designed the chemistry? In the soil and the nutrients, just what makes it grow? Of course, sunlight is one thing. Water, you know. So there's a beautiful design behind everything that God does. And the more we learn about Him, the better, the clearer, the purer will be our thinking. So it's really a wonderful subject to reflect upon. And I like your illustration of the garden. It's a very appropriate one. God bless. Thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you. We appreciate your input, Julius.
You're welcome.
Have a
nice
great
day. Bye-bye.
Now, see, when Julius calls in, he thinks about the subject.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't call in and arbitrarily comment. He thinks about it and gives you a thoughtful response. That's what we're talking about here, is the idea of cultivating the habit of thinking. And how can we do that better on a daily basis? So good thoughts from Julius.
That's right.
On to Romans 12:2, Jonathan.
Okay. "And be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God."
Being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the implication here is that transformation starts within. It starts between your ears. And that little 6-inch space between your ears, the gray matter in there, that's where transformation begins. If we renew our mind and direct it, we can get so much more out of it. I mean, thoughts can be controlled just as words and actions can be controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've heard the saying, you know, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair.
Sounds close.
And the idea is we can't oftentimes control the thoughts that come in and go out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But you can control them staying there and cultivating themselves.
There you go.
And that's what this scripture is about, the renewing of your minds, being transformed by the renewing of your minds. Read that next scripture.
That's Proverbs 23, verse 26. "My son, give me thy heart, and let thy eyes delight in my ways."
So now if you take the idea of thoughts into this scripture, we need to plant more of the Lord's thoughts in our hearts and in our minds. And see, Jonathan, there, while we're not literally talking about the pump inside of your chest, mm-hmm. when we talk about your heart, but we talk about the seat of your emotions when we talk about your heart. How do you plant a thought in your heart? What's the difference between having a thought in your heart and a thought in your mind? What's the difference between the two?
Good question.
If you have a thought, give us a call at 443-9782, 443-WSUB.
Well, you know, after reading the transforming let thy eyes delight in my ways, where we are in this world today, the things that can take you away from those things are television, music, that take up your time, take up your thought, take up space where you could be developing the Lord and His Word and communing with Him in prayer and study, it can be stolen from you if you allow the world to do it.
Mm-hmm. There's a scripture, and I'm going to misquote it a little bit here because I don't know the exact words off the top of my head. But it says something about where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Notice it doesn't say where your mind is, there will your treasure be also. And I think that's part of the idea of cultivating the garden of your mind. It's where your heart is where your treasure is. So to have, to intellectually understand something is good. It's nice. But it's not transforming. To understand something from your heart is where the transformation work can begin. The transformation work really can't truly begin unless the mind grasps it first. But unless the thought is transferred into one's heart, it goes nowhere. And to me, this idea about my son, give me thine heart.
Your desire.
Right. I mean, what you're made of.
Yes.
And again, you can get blown away by somebody who can cite you scripture and verse and scripture and verse and scripture and verse. But unless they're living those scriptures, all they are is an encyclopedia of information.
Yep.
And that's not what God wants from us. Our hearts need to be the seats of our thoughts, where our thoughts can actually grow and develop and help to change us. Jonathan, there are good seeds and there are bad seeds. And we talked about that previously. Let's read through some scriptures here that give us a sense of some of the bad and then the good seeds that can be planted in our hearts and our minds.
All right, Galatians 5:19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I forewarned you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
That is one nasty list.
Yes, it is.
Don't try this at home.
Warning.
And again, these are the works of the flesh. Now, how do they become the works of the flesh? Because they start out as thoughts, and the thoughts are planted, and the thoughts are cultivated, and those planted and cultivated thoughts turn into these actions. To counteract that list, let's read the next two verses in Galatians chapter 5.
And that's verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
That's a much nicer list.
Yes, it is.
And again, it's interesting that you have the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the works of the flesh contrary to the fruit of the Spirit.
So we're being transformed from the first list to the second
list. Exactly. And the only way to be transformed is obviously our actions have to dictate, part of our transformation. But
sure.
Our actions are meaningless without the thought behind the action. And, you know, a lot of that comes down to the habits of thinking that we have in our lives. Let me just read you this one little section from this book, Thinking for a Change by John Maxwell. This is an awesome book. It really makes you think. it makes you realize how much we don't think. And it gives some very, very helpful processes in thinking. This is a quote. He's quoting from somebody else in his book. It says, I am your constant companion. I am your greatest helper or your heaviest burden. I will push you onward or drag you downward to failure. I am completely at your command. Half of the things you do might just as well turn over to me, and I will be able to do them quickly and correctly. I am easily managed. You must merely be firm with me. Show me exactly how you want something done, and after a few lessons, I will do it automatically. I am the servant of all great men, and alas, of all failures as well. Those who are great, I have made great. Those who are failures, I have made failures. I am not a machine, though I work with all the precision of a machine, plus the intelligence of a man. You may run me for profit or run me for ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I will place the world at your feet. Be easy with me, and I will destroy you. Who am I? I am habit. And I think that really kind of sets us up for understanding that habit is merely, just like we were talking about earlier, it's a culmination of a certain thought process that we put onto automatic pilot. And the habits that we live by determine the people that we are. Now, how do you have habits develop? You develop them through your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of working through and understanding and developing habits that are godly fits into this Galatians scripture that you just read.
Yes, it does.
Okay? Fruit of the Spirit. These are things that need to be cultivated. These are habits of thinking that need to be cultivated and drawn on.
Well, why don't we read Colossians 3, verse 2.
And this would be under the question of how can we cultivate good thoughts? I mean, what do you do? Okay, we've been talking about the bad thoughts, the dark side, versus the good side.
Okay.
Okay, so
Rick, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are upon the earth or on television.
No. Or on the big screen.
Yeah.
Luke, I am your father. Come with me to the dark side and we can rule all. I mean, how do you set your mind on things that are above, not on things of the earth and of darkness? And that Colossians scripture, what you just read, set your mind on things that are above. You know, it doesn't say allow your mind to wander toward things that are above.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say give your mind the opportunity when it feels right to occasionally focus on things that are above. It doesn't say to weigh out the things that are above against the things that are below and see which one you like better. It says to set your mind on things that are above. That is such an important point, such an important idea in developing the garden of your mind. It takes the discipline of saying, these are the things I'm going to grow in the garden. You know, and these are the things that I'm not going to grow. These are the things I'm going to weed out, and these are the things I'm going to grow. And for most of us, the things that are going to be weeded out are the things that grow naturally. And I know that you, as I, have had that experience in our lives, where the things that grow naturally are not the things that are necessarily very good.
Exactly.
And they have deep roots, and the doggone things keep growing back.
Exactly.
And you got to keep weeding it
back.
Where's that hoe? Where's that shovel? Where's that weed be gone? And you got to keep coming back and weeding it again and again and again and again. And you know, the things that are worthwhile and growing are things that take the longest to develop. I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to have a garden, and so my dad helped me, you know, till the ground and all that, and we had this little stretch of ground, and I planted seeds, and I was all excited. And like 2 days later, I went out there, and something was growing, and I ran in the house. I told my dad, "Something's growing, something's growing." He says, "Pull it out, it's a weed." I'm going, "What do you mean? How do you know that?" It's because it grew up so fast. He knew the good seed didn't have time to be cultivated, and the weeds just naturally grew there. That's the way it is with our minds. We have to work at cultivating what's right and weeding out that which is not profitable and not godly. In the second hour, we're going to continue figuring out how does your garden grow. So until then, for Jonathan and Rick and Christian Questions, think about it. If it weren't for the fact that the TV set and the refrigerator are so far apart, some of us wouldn't get any exercise at all. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. The objective of our program is to discuss with you, our listeners, thought-provoking and meaningful topics based on the Bible. It's a call-in format. We're caller-friendly, and we look forward to hearing your point of view. So give us a call at 443-9782-443-WSUB. Jonathan, what are we talking about?
Well, our question is, how does your garden grow? And our theme text is found in Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.
You know, one of these times when you come bring us back into the program, are you going to do that little rhyme thing that you walked in and said to me?
Oh, no. How does your garden grow, Rick?
With
silver bells and cockle shells and little maids all in a row.
That's not the garden we're talking about.
No.
We are talking about the garden of our minds. And, Jonathan, this is actually a very fascinating discussion. Might be a tough discussion to have so early in the morning.
Yes.
But it's a fascinating discussion on the mind and the importance of thought and thinking. And
they're two different things, which we've learned.
Right. Thoughts and thinking are actually two different things. We're going to expand on that in just a couple of minutes here. But the idea is that our minds are built to be exercised. And oftentimes they're not. That's why we use that quote for the second hour there about, if the TV set and the refrigerator weren't so far apart, we wouldn't get any exercise. Why? Because we've been...
conditioned?
To just sort of be and exist and to just have things come to us.
I wonder who's helping with that conditioning. I think Satan has a big part of the way... He wants us to think the way he wants us to think.
Well, I mean, think about this just for a second, and then we'll get back to our subject. But I'm thinking about it, and you have a television at home, right?
Yes, a couple.
And Fred, you have a television at home?
Yes. A couple.
Okay, and
Rick, do you have a television at
just
home?
Just one.
Well, good for you.
Now, do you have a remote with that television?
Oh yes.
Oh yeah.
Okay. How easy is it to change the channels sitting there with the remote in your hand and not having to move a muscle except for your thumb?
That's pretty easy.
Pretty easy, yeah.
So if you didn't have the remote, would you get up and change the channels as frequently?
No.
Why?
Because I'd be too lazy to do it.
Same here.
And if we lose the remote, if you can't find the remote, most of us are going to sit there and watch what's on if we can't find the remote.
Or we'll drive to Walmart and get one.
But why? Okay, you just made the point. We have been conditioned into this lazy way of being. I mean, in the days, in the pre-remote days, when you used to have to get up off your butt, walk over to the thing that state the television and turn the dial. I might be dating myself, but
really are.
But understand, this is where we've gotten to. We've just slowed down to a crawl. And what happens when you do that is you stop thinking. And when you stop thinking, the weeds grow. And when the weeds grow, nothing good ever comes
of
it.
That's right. Well, Rick, I believe we have a call. Welcome to Christian Questions. This is Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
Good morning. This is a frequent caller, and I'm enjoying the program. And I just thought I would share a couple of things that I find that are helpful to me to keep my mind on things above.
So these are things that you thought about?
Yes.
Oh, see? This is good.
Well, probably not. They didn't come to me on my own. They came from as suggestions from other people that have found that this helps them, and it really has made a difference for me. You're talking about television, but I find that using the radio in the car can get my mind on things that are not above. You know, you hear songs on the radio and how songs stick in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And those songs make you think about, things in the world and not on things about God or things that are in the scriptures. But if I put tapes on in my car of sermons or, uplifting, inspiring things, that helps me. Or if I put a CD on that has Christian music or hymns, I find that even during the day, my mind is going to to those things which automatically make me think of God and the scriptures. And I find that that's a real big help to me on keeping my thoughts on things above. So I thought I would share that.
Well, good.
Okay, and I'm enjoying, and have a good day.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Now, see, Jonathan, there's a classic example of what we were talking about, because the caller said that she didn't think of these things on her own. They were suggestions given to her.
Mm-hmm.
But see, in order to really, truly implement the suggestion, it has to be in your mind.
Yeah, you have to make the decision.
Right, and first to change, because, you know, we have habits, and if you just like to drive and flip on the radio. Now, look, we're not telling you to turn the radio off here, folks. certain circumstances, it might be good to listen to the radio. 6 to 8, Sunday mornings. So easy. But you know, there's a thought process involved in developing a new habit. And the caller was just essentially saying that this is a habit that she has worked to develop. So it was a seed that was planted and cultivated and now yields some fruit. Didn't happen by accident, because, you know, if you're going to control the background noise, if you will,
sure,
in your life,
mm-hmm,
that means you have to do it on purpose. It doesn't get controlled by accident. It gets controlled by bringing whatever the tape is or the CD or whatever she's bringing into her car.
Mm-hmm.
That's a classic example of what we're talking about, of my son, give me thine heart, having our hearts focused on the right things.
And you might want to try not putting anything on in the car so that you could think.
You could do that.
No distraction.
But you know what? For me to think, one of the things that really helps me think, if I'm trying to like preparing for the radio program, mm-hmm, here, you know, I really have to think about it. I mean, and it takes effort for me to think. Let me clear.
Sure.
But one of the things I do to help me think is I put classical music on in the background, just very softly, because I don't know what it is about classical music, but for me, it helps my mind to be creative and move forward. It doesn't distract me. It kind of focuses me. If it's dead silence, I have a much harder time focusing and concentrating. I don't know why that is,
okay,
but I know for me, that's one of the things that just gets me going in the right direction. It can't be music with words in it. It just has to be instrumental.
Gotcha.
And it just focuses my mind. But
interesting.
We just have to put ourselves in a position where we can truly think. Jonathan, let's get on to this question. What's the difference between a thought and thinking? If you have a thought, give us a call at 443-972-443-WSUB, and then we'll ask you if you're thinking.
Well, Rick, a good seed will never do any good unless you plant it. The bad seed will never do any harm unless you plant it. A good thought will never amount to anything unless you think it. And a bad thought will never do you any harm unless you think it. Most people do not distinguish between a thought and thinking the thought, but there is a vast difference. To plant a seed, you must bury it. You must cover it. So a thought is one thing, and to think a thought is to plant the seed. To think a thought is to welcome, to encourage, to harbor it. A good seed is of no value unless you plant it, and a good thought is of no use unless you think it, unless you welcome it, unless you entertain it and ponder on it. The bad seed will never do any harm unless you plant it. The bad thought will never do any harm unless you think it, unless you welcome it, unless you entertain it.
Now that is a critical point in establishing what we're talking about here. Thoughts happen. Thinking is deliberate.
Important. To distinguish it that way.
It really,
it's
really
so true.
Is. Because just because a thought enters your mind, it doesn't mean it has to stay there.
That's right.
It doesn't mean it controls you. Thinking is what essentially controls you. And I can tell you that, and this is not a happy thought, but I can tell you, for me, I have a lot of thoughts that come into my mind that are not uplifting, that are not honoring to God.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm proud of it.
We all do.
The key is, well, what do you do with those thoughts? And unless you plant them and cultivate them, they're going to come in, and then you just force them out. And like the caller said before, how do you do that? How do you set your mind on things that are above? You create a thinking environment that brings you to things that are above.
That takes a lot of work.
It, you know what? It certainly does. It's not easy, but it is well worth the effort. You know, this reminds us of the individual whose comments we're basing this on is a Brother Barton, a sermon he gave many years ago on the mind. And he quotes one of Aesop's fables. And this is the fable of the blacksmith and the donkey.
On a cold, frosty morning, a donkey pushed his nose in at the door of a blacksmith shop, where it was warm from a glowing fire. The blacksmith said to the donkey, "Get out." The donkey replied, "You are stingy. I am only getting my nose warm." Presently, the blacksmith looked around and perceived that the donkey had his whole head in. The blacksmith said, "Now get out, will you?" But the donkey pleaded that he was only getting a little breath of warm air, that his head surely would not trouble the blacksmith. After a while, the blacksmith looked over again and saw that the donkey was halfway into the shop. Then he shouted, "Get out, get out!" But the donkey still insisted that he was only getting a little warm. So the blacksmith yielded. By and by, he looked again and saw that the donkey was altogether in the shop. Then he sprang forward, shouting excitedly, "Get out!" But the donkey said triumphantly, "Which of us will get out?" And thereupon he turned around and began to kick at the blacksmith. The donkey was in full control. So it will be with us if we begin a course of harboring and entertaining little by little to the bad thoughts that comes to our minds.
And that's a great little story that illustrates the point that we've been talking about. The thoughts that come into your minds, okay, they can come in and they can go out. But the moment you begin to entertain them and agree to them, and not even agree to them, but just allow them.
Yes, yep.
See, there's a big difference.
You're right.
We can say, well, I don't agree with this thought because I know it's an evil thought, but, you know, I know it's an evil thought. I can just leave it there. And if we just leave it there, it can take root. And like this donkey comes in and takes over the blacksmith shop, they can just overrule the good in our hearts and our minds. And that's why thinking for a change is such a good idea. I'd recommend it to everybody. Prescription for godliness. Take two thoughts and develop them into thinking and call me in the morning. So important. And anyway, folks, if you have a thought, actually, if you're thinking,
give us a call.
Give us a call at 443-9782, 443-WSUB. Fred, actually, we should go into a break at this point. Folks, we're talking about thinking and how hard it can be, but how profitable it is when we actually do it.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on 980 WSUB. Grab your Bibles. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Christian Questions on 980 WSUB with Jonathan and Rick. Our subject this segment, how does your garden grow? To be a part of our program, call 443-9782, 443-WSUB.
And Jonathan, it occurs to me that in each of the gardens of our minds, we actually have a library inside of our minds. We have a memory bank which we can call upon to help us develop thoughts into true thinking. And the question you have to ask yourself is, what are the books and the articles that you are keeping in your library to draw from? Because if you are keeping things that are less than honorable, your conclusions, when you actually start thinking, are probably going to be less than honorable.
So you have some overdue books
in
there?
Yeah, that's right. And you have some books that really shouldn't be in this library. And again, we all do. And it just, that's really, when you think about it, that's what our conscience is built upon. It's built upon the books that we have in our library of our mind.
Neat way to think about it.
And
now I'll know which ones I want to get rid of and what I want to add to it.
Right, right. What do you want this library to represent? Is it a godly library, or is it a selfish, sinful library? And whatever the library is dictates how your conscience will react. And that's a deep thought for early in the morning.
It sure is.
Let's look at some of the thinking and the thoughts that Jesus had to deal with just when he was getting ready to start his ministry. Remember when he was baptized, what happened?
Sure.
He went into the wilderness for 40 days.
Yep.
So let's read that context.
All right. That's found in Luke 4, verses 1 through 13. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led in the Spirit in the wilderness during 40 days, being tempted of the devil. And he did not eat in those days. And when they were completed, he hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou art the Son of God, command these stones that it become bread. And Jesus answered unto him, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone. And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, To thee will I give all this authority, and the glory of them for it hath been delivered unto me, and to whosoever I will, I give it. And if thou, therefore, wilt worship me, I shall all be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he led him to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou art the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, to guard thee, and on their hands they shall bear thee up, lest haply thou dash thy foot against a stone, And Jesus answered, said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God. And when the devil had completed every temptation, he departed from him for a season.
So in this circumstance, Jesus is tired and hungry. He's been fasting for 40 days, and he's been thinking and meditating. And, you know, he was really developing the books in his mental library as to what books he was going to be relying on. And the books that he developed in his mental library were the books of the prophets, the books of the law, and the books of the character of God.
Right.
And that's all he was putting in his library. And Satan comes along and plays upon his physical weakness at this moment and plants a thought into Jesus' mind. Hey, look, I know you're hungry. You know that you have the capability of performing great miracles. You're hungry. You need your strength to be able to do this work that God's given you to do. Turn the stones into bread. Give yourself some nourishment so you can go and do the work. That doesn't sound so bad.
It doesn't.
Jonathan, take it easy. Relax a little bit. You need your energy.
Good idea. is there a pillow nearby?
But see, understand how tempting that is in that environment. You're right. I do need the energy. I've got to do the work of my Father. This is what I'm called to do. And you're just suggesting that I just, you know, build up for it. But see, Jesus realized that even though this thought was presented to him, that he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He answers the thought, first of all, with a scripture.
Right.
And that indicates what's in his library. Okay. But secondly, that indicates he realized that the powers that he was given to perform miracles were not for his own benefit.
Right.
And that would be a compromise.
They were given to do the will of God.
Right. Right. And he understood that and then acted on it. And this is a classic example of thoughts coming into one's mind and not acting on them. And we are not held accountable for the thoughts that come into our minds. We're held accountable for what we do with those thoughts. Very, very important point in Jesus' life there. And one other quote from Brother Barton here. It says, the lesson for us to remember is that we are not to blame for our thoughts, but we are to blame for what we think. If a good thought comes to our mind, we are not to be commended. You do deserve the approval of God if you think the thought. That is planting it. So with bad thoughts, we are not always to blame for bad thoughts. Now, just don't stop there and say, aha, I can think whatever I want, and I'm not to blame, because that's what Rick said. That's not what I said. If someone puts a thought into my mind by a statement which he makes, I am not to blame. The remark of the other put it there. But I am to blame if I harbor it, if I welcome it, if I think the thought. The question is, what are we doing with our thoughts? A bad man has good thoughts, and a good man has bad thoughts. A person is bad when they entertain bad thoughts. A person is good when they entertain good thoughts rather than bad ones. So stuff goes into your mind, but it's what you do with it when it's once it's there.
How about a scripture? Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh within himself, so is he.
There you have it. That's what defines who we are. It is really, truly what we think. So let's get back to our theme scripture, Jonathan.
Okay, which is Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
So now that scripture, hopefully after all of this discussion on the process of thinking, means a whole lot more. Because this scripture, Jonathan, is, you know, in some ways you can look at it as kind of poetic. Well, whatsoever things are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and of good report, think on these things. It's like, oh, that's such a nice thought. But this is powerful advice. This is powerful wisdom. This is powerful, practical, everyday living experience here. Think on these things.
Yes, you have to work on these things.
Yeah, yeah. For some of us, thinking equates to work.
That's right.
And it's okay. And we just have to be willing to do the task.
Yep.
So this is an important thing to be looking at. So let's move. Our last question is, what should we be thinking? Okay, that's really where we want to go here. What should we be thinking? And this theme scripture tells us to think on these things. Whatsoever things are true. Okay, that's the first thing that we should be thinking about. Whatsoever things are true. What does that mean? You know, okay, think about things that are true. Well, you know, I mean, terrorism exists in the world. That's true. Crime exists in the world. That's true. There's a lot of unfair things in the world. That's true. People are starving to death every day. That's true. Am I encouraging you so far?
Not at all. Nope. Thinking on spiritual things, godly things. That's what we need to do.
Okay. So this is... Picture this as different gateways to fulfilling thoughts, okay, to a fulfilling thinking pattern. The first gate is the broadest gate, whatsoever things are true.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the broadest gate to walk through, and when you walk through that gate, you're eliminating half of what's out there. You're eliminating falsehood.
Okay.
You're eliminating error and lies and all of those things. So that's getting us into the right ballpark. So what this is saying is, it's not saying, you know, focus on the negative truths. It's saying whatsoever things are true versus whatsoever things are false.
Okay.
And if you aren't thinking on true things, you should crush those thoughts. Stamp them out if they're not true, because we just don't know, or it's just not a valuable thing to have going through your mind, things that are not true. Okay, we could go through a lot of examples, but I want to move forward on this. Whatsoever things are honest, think on these things. Okay, that's the next point in this scripture. Whatsoever things are honest. Okay, true is good. Now, when you say honest, how is that different from true? How is that like a narrower gate to walk through?
Well, let me read a quote
from
Brother Barton. You know, a child of God has a very different concept of honesty from the people of the world. The man of the world considers everything as honest that would not rob another man of money or property or anything that belongs to him. The Christian has a higher concept of honesty, for everything he has belongs to the Lord. His eyes, his ears, his tongues, his hands, his feet, and all the are all the Lord's. All the money in his wallet, all the money in the bank, and all his interests are the Lord's. The Christian considers that it would be dishonest to take that which he has given to the Lord and use it selfishly. It would be dishonest to let these hands engage in anything that would be displeasing to the Lord. It would be dishonest to let my feet take me to any place that I could not go with the Lord's endorsement.
Okay, and then the last line in this quote, the dishonesty is not in doing a thing merely, it is in allowing yourself to entertain the thought. So now, on top of whatsoever things are true, that gets us heading in the right general direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you picture, you know, you've got a circle, a 360-degree circle.
Okay.
When you say whatsoever things are true, you've drawn a line through the middle of that circle.
Okay.
Now you can only go to half the direction. So now when you say whatsoever things are honest, you're bringing it down even a smaller area. And this honesty thing really is saying whatsoever things are God-honoring.
Right.
In terms of being honest. And it's an important part in the development of our spiritual life to be thinking on things that are honest, that are ethical to the highest standard we can find. Not just acceptable, but ethical to a higher standard than that. Mm-hmm. Folks, if you have a thought, give us a call at 443-9782. 443-WSUB.
And an exercise, if a thought comes to us that is not quite honest, a thought that we should have is, help me, Lord, to crush this thought, because it's not a good one.
And again, you know, you say, well, yeah, sure, you can do that. But if you say the words to yourself, Lord, this is a dishonest thought, I should not be thinking it, it puts it in a whole different category than if you just sort of struggle with the thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
If you label it,
yes,
and say, okay, this,
catalog it.
You know, this is for the recycle bin, you know,
yep.
in computer talk. And,
sure.
You know, are you sure you want to send it to the recycle bin? Yes. Click. And then you've got to empty that recycle bin.
That's right.
You know, you just got to empty it on a regular basis. But having true and honest thoughts, I mean, think about that. If the world just had these two, how much better a place this would be?
Oh. Much better.
Just thinking on the true and thinking on that which is honest.
Mm-hmm.
Think on these things rather than the other things. Okay?
How about whatsoever things are just?
Oh, see, now that starts to really narrow this gate down.
All right.
Okay, and why don't you read another quote there from Brother Barton.
This would mean that a Christian has no right to do what God would not approve of. He has no right to endorse an unjust thought. What would be an unjust thought? It would be an unjust to entertain any thought that would be inconsistent with the principles of justice. For instance, it would be unjust to entertain a thought of some other person that you would not like that person to entertain about you.
Okay, so whatsoever things are just. So now it's not good enough to think on things that are true. It's not good enough to think on things that are honest. It's not good enough now to think on things that are just, but we're narrowing it down so that we can take the truths of life that are not pleasant or honorable, and it says, don't spend your time thinking about this stuff.
A good scripture, Matthew 7, 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Judge not that ye be not judged, for with that judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with that measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you.
So this is talking about proper judgment. Mm-hmm. In Matthew 7, 1 and 2, and it goes on to say, what is it, something like remove, you know, if you're going to remove the speck of dust from your brother's eye.
Take the beam out of your own.
Take the 2x4 out
yeah.
of your own eye first. And,
yeah.
of course, nobody walks around with a 2x4 in their eye. But Jesus is using exaggerated language to prove a very, very important point. He's saying that it's so easy for you to see a small fault in your brother. The fact that you're looking for it indicates that there's a larger fault in you.
Here's another good concept, Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men that their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours.
That's pretty powerful.
It is.
That's a scathing indictment to us if we don't live by it. Because
you're right.
Jesus is saying you have to have an attitude of forgiveness. And the same attitude of forgiveness you have toward your brother will be the attitude of forgiveness that you are giving God permission to adopt toward you.
Whatsoever things are just.
Okay.
Think on these things.
So you've got to think on those things that are right, that stand above the mess of the world. So they've got to be true, they've got to be honest, and they've got to be just. So we are really beginning to narrow down this focus pattern here, and make it so. Well, what? How do you think on good things? This scripture is written so well. I mean, duh.
Who wrote it? I think we understand the source.
But you know, it's profound to me that. And folks, these are some of the reasons that, you know, we look at the Bible as the inspired word of God, because it makes such great sense to start with the bigger picture and just narrow it down into the focus of where we need to be thinking. True, honest, and just. What's the next phrase in the scripture?
It's whatsoever things are pure, think on these things.
See, now there's a big difference between things that are just and things that are pure. See, you're elevating the thought pattern even more. And Fred, why don't we hit the break at this point? Folks, the garden of your mind needs to be cultivated. We need to grow the right thoughts. And this scripture tells us how.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on 980 WSUB. Stay with us. Welcome back to Christian Questions on 980 WSUB with Jonathan and Rick. Our subject this segment, How Does Your Garden Grow? To be a part of our program, call 443-9782, 443-WSUB. And what are you laughing at?
I just keep expecting you to break out into song when you say, you know, just because that's what you would do. Just break, but apparently you don't want to do that.
No, I do not.
And we're talking about that scripture, Jonathan, in Philippians 4:8, which really helps us to understand how to think on godly things. And it does it in a very simple, straightforward way. It says, okay, let's only eliminate half of the thoughts out there in the world. Think on things that are, what was the first one? True. Then it says, goes a little further. Think on things that are honest. Then it goes a little further. Think on things that are true, honest, and just. Then it goes a little further. Think on things that are true, honest, just, and pure. So it says, think on these things. Well, how do we define what's pure that we should be thinking about? I mean, do you think about, like, Ivory soap is 99.44% pure?
Wow. He really thought about that when he said that.
If you have a thought, give us a call at 443-9782, 443-WSUB.
Well, let's talk about what things are pure. A quote from Brother Barton. Here again, the child of God has a higher standard than the man of the world. A man of the world would think that any thought was pure that was not terribly immoral. But that is not the way with the child of God. The child of God recognizes that any thought is impure if there is any selfishness or any pride, or if there is any envy or jealousy or malice in it. It does not have to be immoral to be impure from the Christian standpoint. If a thought comes to you and you realize there is a selfishness in it, crush it. If there is envy in it, seek to put that thought down.
So this is an important point, Jonathan, because this idea of purity is from the standpoint of godly purity, not human purity.
Right.
And there's a difference. There's mm-hmm. a difference. It's a higher standard. It's something that's much more difficult to attain unto. But the idea is that pure thoughts are not selfish thoughts, are not envious thoughts, are not jealous thoughts. It's not just merely not being immoral in the thought. It is being productive from a godly standpoint in mm-hmm. the thought. And again, the idea is to not only allow these types of thoughts to enter our minds, but to focus on them and to cultivate them and to make them grow into something valuable. So whatsoever things are pure, think on these things.
I keep thinking of this, the circle and the pie chart that you've put in our minds, and it's getting smaller and
right.
smaller.
Right, right. And it's really, really directing your thoughts more clearly.
Exactly.
And it's interesting because we can go through the first three or four gates. We can go through the whatsoever things are true and honest and just.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you're in the right general direction. But if you stop there,
it's still not small enough.
Right. It's still not focused enough. And that's what the scripture does. Is it gives us a laser beam focus on the types of things we should be thinking about.
Okay, and the next one is, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. If any thought comes to our mind that is so unlovely that it would not like others to know about it, do not entertain it.
And there you go. That's a good doorway to go through. If it's a thought that you wouldn't like others to know about, you probably shouldn't be thinking it. Just an idea for you there. And it's interesting because Brother Barton, in his comments, he uses this analogy. He says that God makes, in his wisdom, made our heads of a special kind of glass. Like, you've got a glass head. Did anybody ever tell you that? but it's an interesting thought. He says, so we cannot read the thoughts of one another, which would be harmful, but they are made of a kind of glass that God can look through, and the angels and the devil can also look through our glass heads. That is the way the devil gets his pointers. He would not know how to attack us if he could not look through our glass heads. He would put before us temptations that would not mean anything to us. Interesting thing, that thinking on things that are lovely will combat the temptations of Satan.
Excellent.
But Satan, see, because Satan is a spiritual being, spiritual beings apparently have an ability to understand the mind of men.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the ability to understand their minds. They have the ability to understand ours. So Satan can take that ability and he can custom make the trial and temptation to draw us away from that which is pure and lovely, because he understands where we're weak.
Yep.
And I would be willing to bet that in your case, as in mine, you can see, you know, when Satan is using your areas of weakness to get you.
Definitely.
And whether, I mean, and for a lot of us, you know, it is a lazy mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of us, we just, you know, it's easy to be lazy. You know, you want to be a couch potato in your head. I'm a brain potato. What are you? I got a potato brain. I don't know.
Mr. But, Potato Head.
Yeah, very well stated. And Satan can take whatever it is, and he will capitalize on it. And perhaps the things that are temptations to you would not be temptations to me and vice versa. He knows. And because he knows, that's why we have to focus on things that are lovely, on top of pure, on top of just, on top of honest, and on top of true. It gets us this laser beam focus. Let's go on through the scripture because we're starting to wind down.
Whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. We are not to think on whatever the neighbor may say. No, what God has given a good report on, think on these things. You should say, I have to think about my family. We find a good report on that in the Bible. He that provideth not for his own hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. As we go to the Bible, there is good report on the kind of thoughts that we have to do with caring for our families. If there is any thought we do not find a good report of in the Bible, do not entertain it.
Now, there you have, that's a quote from this sermon by Brother Barton. He really lays it out, and he says, if there's any thought that you don't find a good report about in the Scriptures, don't think about it.
Whoa.
Just like that. I mean, it's like it's making this huge qualifying statement that says, this is how you should think things that are of good report. Because good report is subjective to who's reporting and what it's being reported about.
That's right.
And that's why it's important if we want to think about, well, how do you think good things and profitable things, it's important to use all of these gates, because you can just take this one and you can end up going down the wrong path.
Sure.
You could take any one of them and end up going down the wrong path, because it's too easy to twist. But when you put them all in order, things that are a good report obviously have to be pure and just and lovely and honest,
mm-hmm.
and true.
Excellent.
So this is of good report, of good godly report. And the scriptures, Jonathan, give us counsel on every possible scenario of our lives.
That's right. It does. It doesn't leave out anything.
So you can be sure that if you have a question, a difficulty that needs to be dealt with, I'm talking about a serious life difficulty. I'm not talking about something that somebody can call up and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, should I have ham and eggs for breakfast or bacon and eggs? Does the Bible tell me that? That's not working. I mean, come on. You know, get real. Okay, we're talking about serious life issues. The scriptures give us principles to deal with all of them. That's the good report. We have to find our answers there.
How about the next one? If there be any virtue, think on these things.
Okay, if there's any virtue, think on these things. And that seems to suggest thinking thoughts that will help to make you a better man or woman or a Christian. Do not think any thoughts that will not have that effect. That is the way to keep wrong thoughts out of our minds, by thinking good thoughts, virtuous thoughts, thoughts that will be helpful. Bad thoughts come to us, and we strive frantically to drive them away. You will never get rid of a bad thought in that way. It's like going to the ocean with a broom and trying to sweep it back.
What a good analogy.
Yeah, I know. Here you are at the beach, and the tide is coming in, and you got your broom. And you say, I'm going to keep this tide from coming in. And you start sweeping. Are you going to win?
No way.
Of course not. It's impossible. And so it is with the thoughts that come into our minds. You can't control the thoughts that come through. And we can't get frantic about it. What we can control is what we do with the thoughts. That's the key. So you don't get frantic about it. You think that when you think on these virtuous types of the things, think on things that are going to make you better. I mean, is revenge ever going to make you a better person?
Never.
No.
Okay, is jealousy ever going to make you a better person?
No, it's not.
Oh, but greed will.
No. Never.
I mean, you get the point.
Yeah.
Is mercy going to make you a better person?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Is justice going to make you a better person?
For sure.
Yep.
How about wisdom? Is that going to make you a better person? See, it's a matter of thinking on those things that are virtuous, that have something to add, something to offer. That's how you think good thoughts. And again, I'm reminded of the caller called in and was talking about, you know, the sort of the mind control games that she plays to keep her thoughts going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
She feeds her environment virtuous things.
Yes.
And when you feed your environment virtuous things, you can come out with virtuous thoughts. But if you're in an environment where there is no virtue in the things around you, you can't come out with virtuous thoughts. So if you're sitting like a potato on the couch, like we were talking about, with your little remote in your hand, flipping through 75 channels and saying to yourself, oh, there's nothing on, and you flip through the next 30 channels and there's nothing on, and you flip through the next 30 channels and there's nothing on, think about what you're doing. Are you adding anything virtuous to your life by doing that?
Not at all.
And it's a waste of that of the God-given ability to praise and honor Him through our thinking, because we're just wasting our. I mean, think what you're doing to those brain cells. You know, you're just like polluting them.
Exactly.
And then you got to go clean them out. That's no good. No good. So, if there be any virtue, think on these things.
All right.
If there be any praise.
That's the end of our theme text.
Right. If there be any praise, think on these things. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If you find that God would praise you for thinking certain things, then think on these things. If you find you can praise God better as a result of them, then think on such things. If there are things that would not meet with His approval, if there are things that would not enable you to praise and glorify God better, don't think on those things. You see, this is... It's so simple. If this scripture started out with this,
mm-hmm.
It wouldn't make nearly as much sense as putting this right at the end.
You're right.
Because the very bottom line, once you go through the gates of true and honest and just and lovely and of good report, and I probably missed a few, but but you know, you narrow it down, the end of it is, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And our lives ought to be a living testimony of praise to God. That's really what we're here for.
That's right.
So if there isn't any praise in whatever it is, why are you wasting your time?
We have, I like these three bullet points from Brother Barton.
Mm-hmm.
It says, in these words, we have the rule for attaining skill and success as a Christian.
Oh, here you go. Here are the rules. Skill and success. Here
number one, here we go. Whether or not we have a place in the kingdom will depend on thinking on these things.
Okay, so let me just... So having a place in God's kingdom as one of the called out ones of the gospel age right now depends on what we think.
Right.
That's pretty heavy duty stuff.
It's important. Put it at the top of the list.
That's right. Make sure, you know, check those books into your library.
There you go. The second bullet point. The rapidity of or slowness with which we may progress will depend on thinking of these things.
Now see, that's a critical point, because how quickly are we progressing or how slowly are we progressing? You will find unequivocally that your progress as a Christian is completely determined by what you spend your days and hours thinking on. Period. It is really that simple. Because, and I got to read this really, really quick, these points from the book I referred to earlier, Thinking for a Change by John Maxwell. He talks about the impact of changed thinking. And there's five or six steps. And he says, change your thinking and change your beliefs. Okay, that's the first step. And this is really what we're talking about here. Then when you change your beliefs, you change your expectations. So once you change your expectations, you can now change your attitude. Once you change your attitude, you can now change your behavior. Once you change your behavior, you can change your performance. And once you change your performance, you can change your life. And so in the second bullet point that you just talked about, the rapidity or slowness with which we make progress will depend on thinking on these things, that process in the book about thinking for a change really lays it out.
It really does.
You change your thinking, and it's a domino effect if you stay with it. And you can really tell how well someone is doing as a Christian by where their thoughts are going on a daily basis. On to that third point.
All right, third and last. The degree to which we will be helpful to our brethren will depend on thinking on these things.
So not only is your life as a Christian dependent on thinking right and proper and just and honest and pure and lovely and virtuous things, but the degree to which you can truly help those around you is dependent on your thinking of those things.
And it's important.
And not only is it the thinking process, but remember earlier we were talking about bringing it into your heart. Because you can be the type of a Christian that has all this stuff in your head, and it sounds good to have it all in your head. You know, it sounds good to be able to man, I, you know what, I can quote more scriptures than you. You know, I can tell you the history behind, you know, why Jesus said what he said. I can tell you where Isaiah was when he wrote his prophecy. But if you don't have those things in your heart, those are useless. And we need to really work on developing not only our thoughts for our own good, but our thoughts for the good of all of those around us, because the garden of your mind is built on the thoughts that pass through and the ones that you choose to keep, to plant and to cultivate, and the ones that you choose to continuously weed out that seem to keep growing back, but you go and weed them out again and they grow back and you weed them out again. That's what our mind is like. It is a garden, and you've got to ask yourself the question, how does my garden grow? Plant godliness. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. Until next week, you really have to think about it.